You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're going to be talking about the fifth and final serial of the 10th season of Doctor Who, The Green Death, which consists of six episodes that aired from May 19th, 1973, went to June 23rd, 1973, and was also the last serial of Joe Grant.
Joe Fax!
And I'd like to give a special shout out to Matt Golden for getting us these episodes. You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. And thanks, Matt.
What? I say thanks, Matt.
Okay, you say thanks, Matt.
If I can't say thanks, Matt, now you already thanks Matted.
You can thanks him as well.
Thanks him as well?
You can thanks him all you like.
Thanks, Matt.
If you would like to get your name shouted out at the beginning of an episode, you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by going to watchyourrassilon.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Amazon wishlist where you can purchase the DVDs for us. Also, there is a link to our Patreon, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon, and you can donate stuff and get cool things, including a level where you get shouted out on the podcast. And speaking of, we have a new Patreon patron.
Hey, who is it?
I'm probably going to terribly mispronounce your name. I apologize if I do, but it's Lena Feliciano?
Your name is beautiful, and I love you, and thank you so much.
It could be Feliciano. I'm not sure.
Did you just say that two different ways?
Yes, Feliciano and Feliciano.
Oh, okay, I heard it that time.
You feel free to correct me. I don't know. But thanks for becoming a patron.
Thank you so much. We love you specifically.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
More than everyone else. No, that's not true.
Equally to everyone else.
But a little bit more,
so
though.
So you're not that special, I
just
guess.
Just equal in a way that's a little bit more.
You're equal in a better way. So we were going to record this podcast earlier today.
Yeah, we were. We were going to do it first thing in the morning.
And it is now in the evening. The reason we did not is because there was a very loud marathon happening outside of our apartment with a woman on microphone.
The finish line just happens to be like the street that we live on. And yeah. They were like announcing people's names as they crossed the finish line. Like, oh man, it's Jogger 317.
Matt Burlington of...
Matt Burlington.
Of Dalton, Georgia, or whatever.
That was all day.
All day.
All day.
And not only that, there was the occasional cannon fire.
Yeah.
Because we live on a battlefield.
It just happens sometimes. It hasn't happened in a really long time that it's, like, woken me up.
Well, it's happened a couple of times, but we went to it, so we weren't as surprised by it.
No, yeah, I was like, let's go actually see them fire the cannon this time.
Instead of being like, what is happening?
Cannon fire is really loud.
It sounds a lot like... Have you ever seen a movie where they fire a cannon? It's like that, but a lot louder. You can feel it in your bones.
Yeah. So we decided to spare you from that.
Yeah.
And did not record. But now we are. Now we're recording an episode about the Green Death.
And it is now time for us to finish this marathon. This is the last episode we're doing. No, it's not. No, this marathon's going to go on for years.
I didn't have to train as hard for this marathon, so that's nice.
Yeah, you just watch TV. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's the kind of marathon I enjoy, is just sitting watching TV. Oh, I know something we can talk about.
Okay.
They just released the first photo of 13.
Oh, they did!
Her outfit.
I don't like it. Okay, wait, that's not entirely true.
I love it.
100%. I like the shirt, which seems to be a thing that people really hate. I don't know why. I actually owned a very similar shirt growing up and kind of wish I still had it. I like the jacket.
The jacket is
I like the suspenders, cool. Which seem to be a thing most people hate. I don't like the pants. Wear the rest of them. If I was wearing that in a cosplay, it would bother me.
That your legs were showing?
Yeah.
Why?
I just like, what are they?
They're just high water pants.
I don't like them.
She's got boots. You like boots?
I do like her boots. I don't know. It's like a personal thing of like, if just that much of like my legs were showing, I would keep trying to like pull my pants out.
I have seen comparisons to Mork from Ork.
I have seen that, yes. But no.
Mork from Ork from Mork and Mindy.
The things that seem to bother most people don't bother me. It's just like personally, I'm like, oh, and I don't wanna. Not that I was probably, I've like never put a cosplay for anything together in my life.
That's not true.
Well, there are a few exceptions. But like literally when I first saw it announced, it was like, I could never wear those pants. They would drive me crazy. That was like my big reaction to the reveal.
I'm sure she'll have more outfits, though.
Hopefully one with, like, pants that go all the way down. Or shorts! I don't... Or dress! Either one! I just, like, high water pants, what are they? What are they doing?
They're what's keeping going? Keeping your legs...
What's going
your
on
pants
down
from
there?
Getting wet from the high waters.
If I was going to dress like any doctor, it'd probably be 12. With, like, the hoodie combo.
I know.
So I'm, like, here for the layers.
I've seen a lot of talk about that, and I've also seen a lot of talk about the TARDIS redesign. Which, I mean, we haven't seen the interior, but the just the sign on the front. And they got
that
rid of
it. It's black.
Yeah, it's black. I think it's too dark. I like the white background with the black text. It's easier to read and it's more.
How often do you read the sign?
No, but I mean, it stands out more visually. It's like I just think it's a better visual design. Well, also, apparently, they got rid of the St. John's logo as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. You just brought that back.
So, I don't know. I prefer.
Do you think we're going to get a big redesign of the interior?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What do you hope it looks like?
I'm hoping for round things.
Ooh, round things would be great. You know what I would like, though? I would like a return to, like, the more, like, Eighth Doctor style.
Oh, man. I love the Eighth Doctors because the Eighth, like, you could hang out there.
It really sells the bigger on the inside-ness of it. Instead of just, like, control room that we mostly see, it felt like lived in.
Do you know what I really liked about 11's TARDIS?
What's that?
I liked the, like, layers of it.
Oh, yeah, like the upper
and
lower.
You could be underneath, you could be up top. It had more depth than some of the other ones.
12 had that a little bit. He had that upper deck area that they utilized a lot. 9 and 10 did not have a real, it wasn't like an up and down sort
like
of deal.
I like the sort of organic look to it.
But I think I would be more down for, like, a place that you can live, the more so than a... Just a control room.
You want something kind of cozy.
Just a fireplace.
I mean, what's funny about that is, in theory, the TARDIS has lots of other rooms.
You never see them, and I think that's a shame.
Oh, there is an episode. I don't know. I don't remember who it is, but they were like, run through the TARDIS. Like, through rooms in it and stuff. 5's first episode involves him wandering through the TARDIS quite a bit.
Nice. I like that. I think they should explore the TARDIS more.
I do too.
Are we ready to talk about the Green Death?
We are a classic Doctor Who podcast.
With some dippings and modern.
Oh, hey, yeah. Joseph.
What?
Joseph.
Ow.
Joseph.
Ow. What?
The Green Death.
What about it?
Is it anything like the Green Bulge?
Look, no one knows what that means.
Yes, they do.
You. What, do they?
Yes.
It was my knee.
It came up. It came up in... But the episode Gowns was on, because he explained it to
Claws
everyone.
Claws of Axos. Okay.
It came up in Claws of Axos, so if people have listened to Claws of Axos, they know what I'm talking about.
I guess. I don't remember if I cut it out or not. I might have cut it out because it's embarrassing. I don't remember.
What?
Just,
I thought you had more integrity than that.
I was filming a movie when I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was holding up a green screen. I didn't have anything to put it on, so I had to hold it up.
So you made something to put it on?
Oh, God damn. And there was this bulge, this conspicuous mid-level bulge in the green screen while Gons was dancing in front of it. Brian Snape. I don't know if we actually called him Gons in the podcast at all. Gons is his nickname. But it was my knee.
All right. Okay. You seem very defensive right now. That's all I'm going to say.
Anyway, that's enough about the green bulge. Let's talk about the Green Death.
14 minutes in, let's start talking about this episode.
The Green Death of the Green Bulge is what I say. Moving on to the Green Death, the serial.
We are moving on.
So episode 1 of the Green Death, which I have called Whole Wheel.
All one word?
Yes.
Whole Wheel.
Yes. That's the name of the place that Professor Jones and his hippies hang out.
Oh, I didn't know that because, like, they never actually call it by that name. They call it the, what, the Nut Hutch?
Nut Hatch.
Hut Hatch?
Yeah, I think. Nut Hatch.
Neither one of those makes sense now that I think about it. Hatch is a thing? What's a hatch?
Nut Hatch is, like, a generally what they call, like, a mental institution is the Nut Hatch.
I've never heard the word hatch in my life. I've heard Nut House. Does hatch mean the same thing as house?
Sure. I don't know. I'm not an entomologist. Is that the one that does bugs?
They do call it Whole Wheel, and there is a sign that says Whole Wheel on it.
Yeah.
It's in, like, psychedelic 60s font.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. They showed it and mentioned it a couple times. I just forget, because they don't call it by that name a lot.
That's true. They do call it the Nut Hatch a lot. But before we get to the Nut Hatch, we see the factory, the mine. They're what, digging for oil? Is that what they're doing? What are they doing at this mine?
I'm sorry. Do you think they're mining oil?
Whatever they're doing. They're mining coal. Sorry. They're mining oil. Coal. Coal oil. Coal Hill oil.
So they're mining.
Yes, for coal. They're basically being like, they reopening it or something? Or expand? I don't know. They're having a big, like, to-do. And they're like, we're going to make more money. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. But there's protesters there. Who's Professor Jones and...
They have a new process that's supposed to create...
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be, like, more super energy. Clean.
Yeah. From coal.
From coal. Counter to this, we're seeing this one miner in the mines.
Not a young person.
He's an old miner. He's not that old. He's like middle-aged. But he's heading up, he's coming up from the mines in a terribly color separation overlaid elevator.
Yeah, my favorite thing about this is that they clearly actually had the elevator, because later there are shots, yeah, just going down. So, like, I guess they could only shoot it from, like, that one angle.
Yeah, but you can't, like...
You can't shoot it inside.
Yeah, because it'd be too tight and too close. Like, yeah. There's no room for the camera.
So, like, somebody wrote this and was like, this is great, we have this elevator, and then probably somebody brought that up, and they were like, shit. This company, by the way, that is, like, doing the super clean
coal
business is called Global Chemicals, which is, like, the most evil-sounding business.
It's the evilest name I can think of, other than evil company.
The evilest name I can think of is Lab Tech, but that's a real place.
But this minor character, he is kind of a minor character.
Oh my god.
This minor character who is also a minor, but not a young minor. Does that make sense? Did you follow that?
I did, but I also have known you a really long time.
So this miner coming up from the mines, who's not a young miner, but middle-aged miner, who's also a minor character, but works in a mine, is coming up this CSO elevator, and his hand is glowing green.
Why?
He's got the green death, Tony.
Oh, shit.
It's like the mining coal equivalent of... No, wait. The Black Lung is from mining coal.
Yes, it is. I was wondering how that sentence was supposed to end. It is like the sci-fi equivalent of the Black Lung.
Yeah. Do they call it the Black Lung?
Sure.
Or am I just saying that because that's what was in the Zoolander movie?
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway. He comes up and he sets off an alarm. And dies, I think? I don't remember. Did he die? I think he died. I mean, it was the Green Death.
Yes. He died.
So the alarms go off, interrupting both the presentation of, hey, we got a new cool coal shit going on, and the protest by Jones and his hippie followers with their cardboard protest signs. Then we cut to Unit, where Joe and the doctor have stopped back in for whatever reason. I guess because Joe still technically works there.
What do you mean still technically works there?
I mean, she still works there. The doctor forgets, but she's like, dude, I gotta at least go get my paycheck. But the doctor is working on a piece of his TARDIS. He's fixing a piece of the TARDIS that will help him...
Pilot it.
Pilot it, basically, yeah.
Be able to, like, actually make it go where he wants it to go.
Which is Metabilis 3, something like that.
Because he wants to get a sapphire. I don't remember why.
He just thinks it's a cool place to go. He really likes blue stuff. But there's a bit where Joe is eating an apple, which pleases Tony.
Yeah, always. Oh, not only is she eating an apple, which is, on like, by itself cute. But she's eating an apple while, like, speaking.
And it's like...
And the doctor's like, what? Finish chewing! What are you saying? Adorable. So good. Best scene.
Joe is reading the newspaper about this whole protest and the dead guy and everything. And how this coal thing is evil. And she's reading this aloud and, like, basically being like, this is terrible, we should go. While the doctor is having his own conversation, they're completely ignoring each other.
The doctor's just talking about, oh, it'll be great when we go to this planet. And she's like, we should go to this thing. And they're talking to each other, but not listening to each other. It's really great.
Delightful. Very fun scene. The best. I'm just going to keep doing that.
So, but then the brig comes by and basically asks the doctor to, hey, I need you to come help out with this situation that's going on at the coal place. Then the doctor says, no, I'm going to go to this planet. And Brig's like, well, all right, I guess I can't stop you.
I think the Brig says something about forcing him. And the doctor says, okay, well, I'd like to see you try that. And the Brig's like, right. So anyway, I guess it's just me then.
Well, then he turns to Joe and is like, hey, Joe, I need you to go on a mission with me. And she's like, oh, I can't. I got to go to South Wales and take care of this whole coal mining thing. It means a lot to me, blah blah blah. And the Brig's like, well, you can't do it. You work for unit, you know, you have to help me. But then he's eventually like, nah, I'm only fucking with you. It's this exact same thing. But he does like mess with her for a little bit.
Well, it's not the exact same thing. She's technically there to protest, and he is technically there to like,
yeah, but they're going to the same place.
But she's not going in like an official unit capacity.
Yeah,
he's just giving her a lift.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was messing with her, though. Because he's like, nah, I'm only kidding. You're coming with me. It's the same. We're going in the same direction. I was just messing with you.
I mean, that's not exactly what happened.
That is kind of what happened.
I mean, literally, he was like, you have to come with me. And she was like, no. And he was like, then I'll fire you. Or she was like, what are you going to do? Fire me? And he was like, fine. Then at least let me drive you there. And she was like, what? And he was like, we're going to the same place. But she's not going.
Yeah, but he does it with like a smirk the entire time.
Yeah.
He was definitely messing with her a little bit.
I mean, he was. I'm saying he wasn't like, I'm just kidding. You don't actually. Like, he really wanted her to go there because she does work for UNIT.
Right.
That stuff was all real.
But he heads out and Joe's like, are you coming, doctor? And he's like, I don't want to go. But then Joe's like, this guy I'm going to go see, this Jones, reminds me a lot of you. And the doctor's like, well, maybe I'll come later.
If I'm gonna be there. He's very pouty about it, too. What's the line he has when she leaves to go on her own adventure without him? He has some line like, the fledgling leaves the nest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, something very ridiculous like that. Just
so
like,
extra.
Yes. Like, she's not going with you this one time.
Calm down.
Like, sure, it's a heads up that, like, it's her last episode, but all, like, within context, it's just very much.
So, the Joe leaves, and the doctor's all alone, and gets in the TARDIS, and TARDIS is out. Then Joe and the Brig are driving to the place, and they get a little lost, and they ask this milkman for directions, and he's very grumpy about it. And it's also a little bit like, why is this here? And the answer is, it is setting up something that happens later that is amazing. But for now, it's just a grumpy milkman who's like, I don't know, find your own damn way, but gives them directions anyway. Which is, Joe is getting dropped off at Whole Wheel. The Brig is carrying on to the coal factory mine. Factory. Meanwhile, the doctor arrives on this blue planet.
Very blue. Blue filtered.
And immediately gets attacked by a tentacle. Like, immediately.
Can I say this is, like, my ideal Doctor Who? Just like, having to wrestle, like, a large rubber thing and be like, oh, no! That's peak Doctor Who for me.
Really, the doctor doesn't do a whole lot in this serial, except go around on this planet being messed around with. He just like cut. It'll just cut back to him randomly, and he's in some different. Like he's being he's running from a stock footage of a giant lizard.
Yeah, he has sort of a micro adventure in this episode, micro B plot adventure.
Just every time it cuts back to him, there's something new happening. He's just like, ah, running away from, like, I don't know, there's a bit where he's like in snow and there's giant feet. There's a whole lot of things that doesn't really have anything to do with this serial.
I mean, they're mostly cutaway jokes.
Yeah. Ah, I bet the doctor's having a great time. Cut to, ah, sort of thing. I don't think he ever actually screams, but it's pretty funny. So Joe shows up at Whole Wheel, just sort of wanders in. There's a great sign that just says, room for living. And I like that sign.
Joe did too. She points it out and goes, room for living. I like that.
What we don't see is the room for shitting sign.
That is most certainly. What do you think is on the bedroom, though?
Sleeping. Room for sleeping.
I'm sure that's what it said.
They probably don't even have beds. They just have, like, cots.
Hammocks.
Bean bags.
Like, three bean bags pushed together.
Yeah, and a sand pit.
A sand pit?
Why not? Room for orgies. Is that what you were thinking?
No.
What?
You went too low and then you went too high.
What were you gonna do?
Just fucking. Just ordinary fucking.
Room for ordinary fucking.
The room for orgies and the room for ordinary fucking are two different rooms, depending on the level of privacy you require.
Right.
It's a very reasonable setup.
That's a completely different show. Which one do you think Captain Jack would go into?
He'd somehow find a way to be in both of them at once.
Fair enough. So, she goes into this one room where we meet, well, we've already met him, but she meets Professor Jones, who is sitting in this really cool hanging chair.
He does. It's a hammock chair.
It's a hammock
they
chair.
They do have hammocks. Do I say the word hammock weird?
Hamhock.
Hamhock.
No, you say it fine. Hammock.
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 Okay.
Hammock.
Is it hammock or is it hammock?
It's probably hammock, but everybody just
says hammock.
Hammock.
All right.
Hammock. Hey, Mickey, you're so fun. Anyhow.
Anyhoozle. He has this great chair. But Jo doesn't know that he's Jones. She kind of marches herself in there and demands to see Professor Jones. And, like, Jones is trying to talk to her. And she's like, I don't want to talk to you. I don't give a fuck who you are. I want to talk to Professor Jones. And he was like, oh, well, all right then.
And then she also sort of immediately starts just going into full-blown, like, Jerry Lewis slapstick mode of knocking everything over. And like, ooh, no!
Oh, gosh, I'm so clumsy.
And he gets, like, really mad at her.
But in a way that, like, as the audience, you're supposed to find cute.
But I kind of don't. Because, yeah, it's setting up that they're going to be... he's going to be a romantic interest.
For Joe.
For Joe. Which, at the time... Here's a bonus Joe fact. Joe facts! Apparently, they were engaged
at
the time.
Is this a Joe fact because it's coming from you? Or is this a Joe fact because it's about Joe?
Oh, snap.
What? Yeah.
It's both. It's a dual Joe fact.
Joe facts!
But yeah, she was engaged to the actor at the time. They split up about a year later.
A year later?
Yeah.
Bummer.
To the day. I don't know. I don't know about that. But yeah, they did not stay together. Though in canon, the characters did.
Awkward.
They even had children.
Aww. Children.
I mean, if you consider Sarah Jane Adventures canon.
I do not.
What?
I've never seen it, so I can't consider it.
You've
canon.
Watched that episode.
Oh, shoot. I have seen that episode. It's really cute.
Death of the Doctor. It has 11. It's written by Russell T. Davies.
Joe's really cute in it.
She is. That was actually the first time I'd ever seen Joe. And I was like, she seems cool. I can't wait to actually experience her original run. And now we have.
It's lived up.
Okay, so like, I don't know. They're just doing like a romantic comedy situation with her and Jones. Joe and Jones. And there's a bit where he's like, I don't know, fake geek testing her. Like, see how smart she is. And he's like, what is this? And he describes like a bug. He's like, what kind of bug is that? And she's like, I don't know why. And he's like, well, it's crawling up your leg. And she's like, whoa! This is dumb.
She's seen much scarier things.
Well, we should probably describe Jones a little bit. He's kind of a Welsh Eighth Doctor. The end. Moving on.
Eighth Doctor, but specifically the Eighth Doctor in Big Finish. And less so the movie. I feel like Big Finish...
You say that you've only listened to like 6 episodes.
That's enough. I feel like in the 6 episodes of Big Finish that I've listened to, the Eighth Doctor is a little bit more smarmy?
I didn't mean visually he looks like the Eighth Doctor.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about his personality.
He's got the same hair, the same body.
Because this guy's very sort of sarcastic.
Yes.
In like a charming way, not in an off-putting way.
He's all right. There's moments where I like him in the serial and moments where I'm like, eh. But that's more because of the writing.
Yeah. He's being written to do, like, very gross sort of romance tropes that, like, we in particular hate.
He's a little patronizing and calls Joe a child a lot. There's something really big we'll talk about at the end of this serial that rubbed me the wrong way, but we'll get there. But he is working on some fungus. This fungus, unlike previous funguses or fungi...
Fungi.
In Doctor Who is a good fungus and not an evil fungus that is actually just foam. It's going to be food. He's making fungus food that's healthy and stuff. And there's this whole thing about, like, throughout the serial, the Brig is eating some of it. It's like, ah, that's not fungus. That's beef. And I don't think there's any planet, world, or universe where, like, a fucking mushroom tastes like beef.
Jackfruit is supposed to taste like beef. I mean, jackfruit doesn't taste, but, like, if you season it.
Is jackfruit a fungus?
No.
Well, there you go.
But they're raising this fungus to, like, feed the world. They're hippies.
Apparently this serial got a little bit of criticism for being so, like, having stereotypical hippies in it. But, I mean, they're not wrong.
But they're right about everything?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
I don't know. They seem all right. This is kind of cool.
I'd hang out there.
I wouldn't eat their food. I'm going to be honest.
I would.
Yeah, you'll eat anything. You got these weird ass seaweed things.
There's seaweed, coconut, and chocolate.
You don't eat seaweed because it tastes good. You eat it because it's healthy, right?
No, I eat it because it tastes good.
Well, that's wrong. But why put chocolate on it? Isn't that like the point of seafood is to eat healthy, but it's got chocolate on it.
I'm not eating it because it's healthy. I'm eating it because it's salty, and when it gets wet on my tongue.
Oh, God, I don't want to hear this.
It gets weird. It gets all sort of like, I don't know, it feels like a gel. It goes from feeling like a paper to feeling like a gel on my tongue, and I dig that.
Okay, well, you're wrong. Gross is what that is. That's gross.
It's like a slimy potato chip.
Ugh! You're not selling me on it. So, Brig checks in with the suits at the coal place, tries to call the doctor to come help out because Brig doesn't know what he's doing. Then we get a lot of, like, debate about clean energy and stuff. There's like this it cuts back and forth between the coal people talking to the Brig and Jones explaining it to Joe. It'll be like the coal people saying, well, this thing we're doing is amazing. There's virtually no waste. And then cutting to Jones being like, that's all cool and all, but there's gotta be waste, sort of thing.
Yeah, he's like, I've gone over their, like, data. There's something, like, there's stuff missing here.
And we get a lot of exposition. It's really nicely edited. It, like, cuts back and forth in a very nice way. This episode in particular is particularly well edited. But then the Doctor finally runs back to the TARDIS as tons of shit is just being thrown at it. And then he gets back to unit and answers the phone. And he's like, yeah, I'll do whatever. I'll come do whatever. It'll be more fun than what I've been doing. So he goes to the mine. Okay, Jones has called Joe a child. She wants to go investigate the mine because he's like, sketchy stuff's on. And she's like, well, we gotta go check it out. And he's like, nah, you're a child. And she's like, fuck you, I'm not a child, and leaves. And goes into the mine with this other guy. I actually think they're going to go check on this other miner who hasn't been calling in or something. I don't remember. Anyway, they're going into the mine, Joe and this other guy. So the doctor shows up, gets filled in on stuff, and the doctor's like, no one should go into the mine until I say so. And they're like, well, someone's already just went down, this woman and this guy. And they're like, whoa, wait. It was Joe. And he's like, oh no, that's not good. The doctor and the Brig rush in there to try to stop it, but the guy's pressing the button and it won't stop. Won't stop, can't stop.
Yeah.
The CSO elevator is going down. It's like broke. And that is the end of episode one.
That's a cliffhanger.
And we're now into episode two, which I've called Unauthorized Footsteps.
Whoa.
What?
I'm just looking at the lack of notes that we have for this episode.
Not a whole lot happens, I don't think, in this
No, episode. Not really.
This is another one of those six-parters that could easily have been a four-parter. Also, there's just a lot of filler. There's also a character at one point that completely disappears and I didn't even notice. The CSO elevator is, like, crashing, and, like, the rope broke or something. It's just going down.
Yes.
So the doctor has to sticks this thing into the wheel that controls the, like, descent in order to stop it. And they stopped it. But it still kind of went all the way down. It was it stopped 20 feet from the bottom.
Yeah, and so it's like Joe is like, well, Joe and is it a miner that's with her?
Yes, Bert, I believe.
Bert. Joe and Bert are like, well, better climb out of the elevator and explore since this is what we were doing. She wants to go. She's like, I know first aid. So like the doctor is like frantically trying to stop the elevator from getting down there, and like he does, and then it stops like just a couple of feet below the bottom, so Joe hops out and goes down there and then proceeds to touch everything she shouldn't touch.
They eventually find the guy with the green death, and she's just
who
like,
isn't dead yet, actually.
He's not, no. This is different than the guy that from the beginning of the episode who got the green death, right?
Is it?
Yeah, because Jones, like, looked at his body and stuff.
Did he?
Yes.
Okie doke.
There's more than one guy with this green death. But the doctor's like, how many elevators are there? And they're like, well, we got two. And he's like, well, let's use the other one to go down. And like, we can't. It's one of those situations where like...
When one is going up, the other one's going down. If one of them's stuck, they're both stuck.
The doctor's not happy about that, so he's got to figure out how to fix it. And also, they're like, well, we need to cut the cable. And they don't have cable cutters because this place has been shut down for a while. They've just recently reopened it.
Yes, but also they're lying.
Also that. Also, we get a cutaway to this. Actually, part of this might have happened in the last episode, where there was this guy sort of like poking around trying to find out stuff. I believe this is the guy that looks like kind of like David Tennant, but not quite.
That's what you said.
That's what Chris Cherry
said. You and Chris Cherry called him not David Tennant.
He always looks down on people, like sticks his chin way up, and he's very snooty looking. He's sort of poking his way around. And I think this is the point where we see the giant headphones for the first time. That's, we don't know what they do exactly. But this guy, he's poking around and he eventually leaves the office of the guy who like runs the coal factory and all that. And there's this computer that turns on and just like talks to him and says, process him.
I love this computer. First of all, it's just a screen with like, I guess...
Audio wave?
Yeah, I guess a waveform on it whenever it speaks. It's like this green screen with this like bright green line waving across it whenever it speaks. How would you describe the voice that it has?
Not very computerish. He kind of, to me, sounds like... Do you remember the bad guy in The Invasion? He was the one that was working with the Cybermen. And he was all like mad because he got betrayed.
Yeah! Yeah, he's very sort of... Is flamboyant the right word?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, for a computer voice.
There's definitely some emotion there, which probably shouldn't be there.
No, I liked it.
I mean, if it was, like, a legit computer is what I mean.
Yeah, because, like, part of the idea is, like, I mean, and it isn't even revealed that it's a computer until later, I guess? That's kind of the cliffhanger for not even this episode, but, like...
Like, episode 4 or 5.
That's like, what? It's a computer! And it's like, okay, when I saw, like, a waveform on a screen talking to me, I assumed it was a computer.
Yes, I am the villain, is sort of the way he talks.
Yes, it's so good. It's delightful. Because, yeah, part of the idea of this computer is that it has, like, it's connected to a human mind, which allows it to...
Fail?
Feel and think like a human.
Purposely to have flaws.
Yes.
It's flawed in its thinking and stuff and that.
That leads to creativity.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what his name is so that we can refer to him as that rather than the computer. It's The Boss.
His name is The Boss. It's an acronym. I don't remember, and it doesn't super matter.
Basic operating system shit.
That's pretty much it. He's a delightful villain. There's like there's a part way later on where he's just sort of like humming.
He sings. Yeah, he sings a lot. It's like a very specific classical tune, I think. I don't remember why.
Yeah, he was like mad too. He's like, I should have had this like classical song playing as I enacted my plan. It would have been great. Oh, it's just prime cute robot stuff. It's
very cheesy.
I loved it.
This is just the first instance of him. It actually did remind me a bit of The Invasion, but like if you'd swap the roles of like the Cyberman was the business guy and then the computer was the villain that was working with the Cyberman. Because the suit guy, I can't even tell you what he looks like. He has zero personality.
No.
I don't remember him at all. I know he's like a character. He's basically the human face of the boss, but don't remember him at all. Do you remember him? We just saw this serial not that long ago.
We just saw it. I remember that he was in it. I remember the concept of him.
That's it, though.
Yeah.
So then this guy who's been processed, he gets processed, this one guy. Snooping around, pokey guy, sees this processed guy. And it's very clear that something has happened to him. He's acting very...
Odd.
But he's like, I don't know what's up. It's like, clearly he's been brainwashed at least. Then they find out that the elevator was sabotaged. It wasn't just an accident. It was purposefully done. So some stuff is up. So they need some cutters. The doctor meets Jones, and he says he knows where some cutters are, possibly. And that, like, leads him on his quest to go get cutters. Which is, they're at the factory in a shed, basically. And the doctor's gonna have to sneak his way in. Which he drives this truck.
He drives a... What are they called? Cherry pickers.
Yes.
He drives a cherry picker, gets in the bucket, lifts the cherry picker over the, like, barbed wire fence.
And jumps down
and gets in that way.
And starts running towards wherever the shed is and, like, triggers an alarm system thing.
It's not his best plan. He gets caught pretty immediately.
Well, he gets surrounded and he karates his way out of it first because you gotta have the karate scene. Like, three dudes come at him at once and he, like, fights them all off. But then he does get caught by the main suit guy whose name is Stevens. According to my notes, still cannot visualize him.
The way you're feeling about Stevens right now...
Is the way you feel about Sam Rockwell?
The way I feel about most movies is actually what I was going to say. Where you're like, we watch that, and you're like, you know, it's like this one third character, like, third character in this movie, and I'm like, I vaguely remember the plot of that movie. I certainly don't remember, like, a character who was somebody's doctor or something.
All right, I guess that's fair. So if I, but I do have like a good memory for that stuff, and if I can't remember this guy, he must be really forgettable. But the doctor's like, yeah, I just came for the cutters. Oh, if we'll just give you some cutters, you fucking weirdo. Why didn't you just ask?
Well, he did ask, and they said they didn't have any. And so they said...
Oh, right, well, I guess we did have some.
No. That's not what happens. He's like, see, I could have saved you the trouble, and like lets him into the shed, and there are no cutters there.
Oh, I thought he got cutters.
He does get cutters, not from the company.
Where did he get them?
I think the brig brings them back. The brig's like, I'm going to go over to the town over and get some cutters.
Okay.
And he does, and he comes back with them.
I thought he got them from the company. But I don't remember.
No, because the company, that's like the one thing that lets not David Tennant know something sketchy's up.
Did I watch this serial?
You were there with me. Not David Tennant is like, why did you lie to him about having the cutters? You know perfectly well we have cutters. And they're like, I don't know, we don't know what you're talking about. I'm super mind controlled. And he's like, I'm not mind controlled and I think everything's suspicious.
The guy who's very suspicious of everything is the character who eventually just disappears. That was because the actor got sick and couldn't do anymore. So they sort of created a new character to take over the rest of
it. He's feeling better.
I think he got better. He might be dead by now. I don't know.
Oh.
But he got better then. But yeah, they sort of replace him with another character. They create a new one to sort of fill in for his role since he couldn't do it anymore. I remember both of those characters distinctly, but I didn't notice that he went missing, that he went gone.
I didn't notice that they weren't the same character.
They look completely different. I know. One of them has a full head of hair. The other one very much does not.
I know. But they were playing the same role, and I just thought they were the same person.
One of them has glasses, and the other one does not. One of them wears, like, tan colors, and the other one wears dark blue. Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, everyone's arguing about who's going down into the mine to go rescue Joe and this and Bert. But they're all being very manly about it. It's very annoying.
I think somebody tells them to put their dicks away. No.
That was Chris Cherry.
That was Chris Cherry.
While we were watching it.
I was like, I distinctly remember that, but certainly it wasn't on the show.
They eventually decide on who's going down. I don't remember who all goes down, but enough people go down to go find Joe, where they're going to. But Joe and Bert are just, they just keep going, trying to find a way out. There's supposed to be like an exit somewhere that leads out into the hills or something. And they see some light in the tunnel, so they're like, oh, we must be getting close. Because they turn off their headlamps to save battery on their lights. And they're like, well, we can still see, so we must be close. And then they find this goo just dripping out of the wall. They go and touch it.
They're like, what's this? I don't know, but I'm going to put my hand in it.
Joe doesn't touch it.
It looks like snot. I'm just going to go ahead and just rub my hand right up all in this mine snot.
And then
it's a bad idea.
Joe doesn't touch it. Bert does. And then like almost immediately is like, oh man, I don't feel great. He's going to die. And then the doctor and the other miners and stuff come down, and they're like, go up to the guy that they came down there to help in the first place. And like, one of the miners leans down to touch him, and the doctor goes, don't touch that. And then they go down later, they follow the path, and they go to that river of stuff, and that same idiot almost touches the wall like Bert did, and the doctor has to go, don't touch that. Stop. Smacks their hands. What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
Why do you want to rub your hands all over stuff that is killing people? Obviously. You don't go and touch a dead guy. You don't go and touch just some random goo that's pouring down the walls. What is wrong with people?
They don't got no common sense.
And then Joe finds an area of the cave that is full of maggots. It's full of maggots.
It's the worst.
Okay, so it's mostly stock footage, but there's also puppets.
I hate them. Why are they on screen so much? Why did this episode make me watch maggots so much?
I don't know how they did the maggot puppets, but it was really good.
I don't want maggots to know.
How do they work?
Okay, first of all, fuck you.
Secondly?
Fuck you again.
But Joe has found these maggots, and the doctor finds Joe, and then there's a cave-in, and more maggots. Giant maggots. They're like dog-sized maggots.
Ugh, they could eat a cat. Also, they have teeth, and they hiss. They open their mouths and they're full of sharp, pointy teeth. And they hiss at you. And they're maggots.
I am not gonna lie. I feel like I turned a little bit into you in this cereal.
What does that mean?
Because at some point, I'm like, you know what? If you get past the fact that they're maggots, they're kind of cute. They're like little bee pets.
Hey, like, I never got to that point, so...
I feel like that's something that you would do and not me.
Yeah, that does seem very in character for me.
But you were grossed out by them consistently, and I was like, I don't know, they're, like, pet-sized.
Because they had teeth and they hissed at you.
Our cat has teeth and hisses occasionally.
She never hisses at me. No,
she has at me.
Nope, she's never hissed at me because she loves me.
So what I'm saying is, Tony, for Christmas, can I have a pet maggot?
Ugh!
A giant pet maggot.
Stop.
We'll call it Maggie.
Listen to me. Stop it.
Fine. That was the end of episode 2, was the cave-in with the maggots, and we're now into episode 3, which I refer to as Billy Joel's lesser-known hit, River of Maggots. What?
What? There was a lot of discussion during our live stream about whether or not people in the show and people in real life understood what maggots turned into. Because obviously these are like giant mutant maggots. So like, are they going to turn into giant flies? Or is it like just a larval stage of something else? But like, Joseph, I just need clarification on a point.
Yes.
Before watching this cereal.
Uh-huh.
Did you know what maggots turned into?
No. No, I did not. I thought maggots were just maggots.
You thought they were like their own deal.
Yes.
Their own guys.
Are you telling me maggots turn into flies?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Really?
Is this real shock right now?
Kind of. Aren't maggots like... I feel like they're bigger than flies.
Shit. I mean... Maybe. But like a caterpillar. What's that its size relative to a butterfly?
I guess that's true. Now, I knew about caterpillars and butterflies, but I didn't know about maggots and non-butterflies. No, I didn't. No, not at all. I didn't know that.
Crazy. Crazy.
I just knew maggots were the things you don't want to find in your food. Okay, maggots remind me a lot of, like, worms. Do worms turn into anything? Not like worms... Not like worms in the dirt.
Earthworms.
Not like those. Like worms on a calf. Do those turn into anything?
I'm so disgusted at the idea of that.
Wait, don't fleas turn into worms?
No. Fleas don't turn...
You can get worms by eating fleas, though.
Yeah, like if a cat has worms, they almost assuredly have fleas because fleas carry worms.
Okay.
Please cut all of this out. It's disgusting.
No, this is educational.
No, it's so
Joe and Tony
gross.
Are learning things, kind of, from each other. So anyway, episode 3, River of Maggots. Joe and the doctor find a cart. Okay, so there's like a lot of these maggots, but honestly, they don't really do much. They're not that big of a threat.
I mean, part of the threat is like...
Ew, gross maggots.
Yes. One, they're disgusting and I hate them. Two, these are like the larval form. So like, if there were a fuck ton of giant flies, now you've got a real problem. So like, part of it is like, there's a potential threat that's worse.
Okay.
Than the maggots.
I guess.
And it's also that the maggots are the worst, and they have teeth. Why do they have sharp teeth? I hate them. It's a good bit of design, I suppose. The puppets look like maggots. They're effective, and you can tell that they're effective because I hate them. I hate them.
And I want one as a pet. But they find this cart, and they're going to get out. They put it on the track, and they start going. Joe and the doctor. Meanwhile, Jones and the brig are talking. And Jones is like, I gotta go save Joe. I love her, basically, even though I just met her. And Brig's like, she's probably fine. She'll take care of herself.
Brig's like, I've known her for longer, and she's fine.
And Brig's gonna go to Global Chemicals and talk to them about plot stuff. We cut back to the doctor and Joe on their journey. They're just pushing themselves through this river of maggots.
They've got like a... It can't be a boat, but that's what it is.
No, it's a cart. It's the cart that they put on the track.
Yeah.
And they're just pushing themselves along with, like, pieces of wood or something. It's very obvious it's green screen, too. Or it's color separation overlay. And it's just maggots on the walls. They're everywhere.
I hate it.
It's really gross. So this other guy, the suspicious guy, is just hounding this guy who's clearly been processed and keeps... trying to poke at him and prod him until he almost comes out of his processing, but then doesn't. And he's like, I gotta go to the lab and do lab things. And he just sort of sneakily, not that sneakily, follows him.
Yeah.
And goes into the lab with him.
And he's literally like, why is this button labeled murder? That's sketchy. And I was like,
does not compute.
It's not murder. It's,
Mulder. Oh, this is the thing that plays the next episode of X-Files. I'm a big fan. I know it hasn't technically been created yet, but we're a really advanced company.
But you know, he's like moving something in from one vat to the other, and it's Joe and the doctor in the way of it?
Well, not quite yet, because Joe and the doctor are still escaping. They find eggs.
They find eggs, and the doctor takes one with him. He said, I'm going to take this egg. And he puts it, do they have like a backpack or something?
Something, but they carry it with them.
It's gross, and I hate it. It was a bad idea. Don't take an egg. Don't. We don't need a maggot egg.
Meanwhile, the brig has been talking to Stevens, the main guy, trying to figure out what's going on, and gets involved in a phone call with the prime minister.
Well, yeah, because
gets told off for poking his nose around.
The brig's trying to throw his weight around.
And Stevens is like, you don't have the right authority. I have friends in high up places, basically, right?
Yes, and then puts him on the phone with the prime minister, the brig has to be like, oh, okay, whatever you say.
So apparently the show is technically in the future, right?
Yes.
Apparently they named the prime minister.
Who was currently?
He was not currently. He was actually, there's somebody that's going to be running or something, like a liberal one or something. So they just like, that's going to be the one who wins, so we're going to call him that, and he did not. Got it wrong. So yeah, then the doctor and Joe start climbing up this pipe. That's when
hits the murder button.
Yeah. There's waste. They're getting rid of waste. They're pouring waste down these pipes into to the mines, basically. And that's what they just pushed themselves through, is this river of goo, this waste. It's just gross, gross waste. But the waste is about to go in the pipe. They're in that lab, in that room, and there's a glass door to the pipe, the waste pipe. And you just see the Dr. Joe poke their heads out like, hey, what's going on? The not David Tennant guy is trying to open the door and has trouble with it. There's a lot of trouble with opening doors in this serial. But he eventually gets the doors open and they get out. So the Dr. Joe are fine. But we've now learned that there is a big waste. They said there was no waste.
And they said there was almost no waste.
The guy who has been previously processed is basically feeling kind of messed up about it because stuff has been going on that's messing up everything he's supposed to do.
It's triggering his conscience, too.
That, too. Yeah. I mean, also the not David Tennant guy was like trying to get him to come out of his programming. But he goes to Stevens and he's like, I've got a headache. I don't feel good. And they put the headphones back on and weird effects happen, which is very similar to the effects that they used when the Ice Warriors would shoot people.
Oh, yeah, it was.
But they try to process him again and it fails. The boss orders him to be put under self-destruction.
Yes, and you had an issue with this.
Well, I did until I was like, what? Do they want him to kill himself?
And then he jumps out a window.
He runs past the doctor and the brig and all that, and then jumps off this ledge and, yeah, jumps to his death. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that is self-destruction. But Stevens is starting to feel conflicted about this. He's not sure if this is cool beans.
He's not sure if this is cool beans. Excuse me, but I seem to be experiencing an ethical dilemma about this. I'm just not certain it's cool beans.
It's not cool beans.
Not cool beans. That's not cool beans, brah.
So the doctor, and the brig, and Joe just witnessed a man with a guilty conscience run and jump to his death.
Yes. So naturally,
Let's have a dinner party. Literally, that is the next scene. We cut to everybody cutting up, having a good time, eating some fungus with the hippies. They're having a fungus time.
What? How did you think that was going to go in your head?
Let me do a rewrite on that. These hippies, well, like Jones, he sure is a fun guy.
Fungus night.
But like the brig is like in a tux. They're all just sitting around the dinner table, eating and laughing, and like a dude just died.
But it's funny though.
Was it?
No, it was really sad. It was tragic.
And then we sort of get, Jones goes around introducing everybody to the other people who live here at Whole Wheel. They're all like geniuses.
Yes.
They're like, this person's got a PhD in being fucking awesome, but also likes making crafts.
Well, they're all working on, like, how to save the planet.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, one person, like, he's got his fungi thing. I can't, for the life of me, remember anybody else's project.
I can't remember any of them
either. But, like, clean energy.
Nancy was a doctor, and then there's that one dude who's upside down. His feet were just sticking up in the air. I don't remember what his deal was. And there was another guy working on an art thing. But they're all geniuses. There's laughter and merriment. And then we learn that Bert is dead. The miner that went down with Joe that stupidly touched the goo.
And, like, Joe has, like, this half of a moment where she's like, I should have stayed. Now I feel bad. And it's like, yeah, again, I want to know exactly how we got from there to here.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should feel a little bad. Just a little.
At this point, the dinner is over. Joe is in front of the fire, reading, I think. And Jones comes in to comfort her about the fact that the miner's dead. And she feels bad about it. He comforts her with his mouth.
Or he tries to.
He tries to.
The doctor's third wheeling it pretty hard.
The brig and the doctor both sort of show up. And like, hey, what's going on in here, you kids? And Jones is just like, oh, well, I'll peace out.
The doctor kind of pulls him away, doesn't he?
Or the brig does, I don't remember.
I feel like it's the doctor. Because I feel like Joe is trying to hint, like, no, you guys can go do a science another time.
No, I think it's the brig, though, because the brig's like, we need to do this thing, and Jones is like, And then, like, leaves the doctor and Joe together.
Oh, okay.
Because then the doctor's like, hey, Joe, look at this cool sapphire I found. Isn't this cool? Look at it. And she's like, yeah, it's real nice, doctor. And it's like, completely ignoring him, reading her book, because she's like, really wanted to make out with that dude. And the doctor's like, fucking cool rock.
She didn't appreciate my rock. That's a pretty neat rock.
And then Jones comes back, and then the doctor does pull him away. Like, come help me with this thing. He's like, oh, okay.
So they don't get to make out much.
And then the egg that is just sitting in the room with Joe cracks
fucking
open.
Fucking surprise! The egg does what eggs do.
It cracks open and the maggot comes out and starts making advances towards Joe. That's the second thing that's made advances towards Joe in this episode.
No.
Hey, who? Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, see, the first one was Jones with his mouth and the kissing.
Yeah.
And the second one was a maggot.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you feel proud of yourself?
Every goddamn day.
Interesting choice.
So that's the end of episode 3 was the maggot advancement. And we are now into episode 4, which I've titled The Milkman Cometh.
Gross. Thank you.
Why is that gross?
I don't know. I just don't like it.
Okay. Nothing gross about that. There's a milkman and he's going to be entering the picture soon.
Hinks?
Hinks is like Steven's henchman. I think he's come to sort of take out Joe or get the egg or something. He shows up.
He brings back an egg. Who does that?
I don't know. But he shows up, sneaks in, and is immediately attacked by the maggot and dies.
Because somebody had to bring an egg back.
To be fair, I mean, it's a bad guy, but still, that death is on the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least 95%, 5% Joe, maybe. Maybe. But the maggot gets out of there. Leaves a green trail, though, but they can't follow it. It disappears,
Slime.
And then my next note just says Benton, because Benton shows up. I don't remember what he does, but I was very happy.
The Brigadier's on the phone like, give me Yates. And Joe's like, no, get him Benton. Only Benton. No Yates. Only Benton. And then Benton shows up and he's like, yeah!
Benton.
No Yates. Only Benton.
But Benton is like, sort of set up, I think, a perimeter around the coal or whatever. But these people show up that are going to help blow up the mine, I think, or something. I don't remember what he is. There's a guy that looks like a sea captain. I'm just saying that because it's in my notes. There's a guy who looks like a sea captain, but he's probably not a sea captain. Though everyone does have a sea rank.
Yeah, sea captain might be a sea rank. We don't know.
But they're going to blow up. Unit's going to blow up the mine because that's what they do. Because
there's giant maggots in it, and that's gross. And for once on this godforsaken show, I'm with Unit on this.
So the doctor and Jones start studying the goo that they've taken from that wall. It's basically turning into maggots. Or it's what turned them into maggots into, like, giant maggots.
What he did...
It's radioactive waste making Teenage Mutant Ninja maggots.
Yes. He put some of his cells in there, and the cells turn into maggot cells. And Joe's like, did it hurt? And then everyone makes fun of her because for some reason we're writing her as dumb again, even though she's been more than capable and intelligent and smart and great in, like, the last season? Slightly annoyed.
The doctor finds out he has a bit of a ticking clock. He has about 32 and a half minutes to figure something out before they blow up the mine.
Which is a pretty standard Doctor Who scenario.
Question. Okay, maybe I'm a little confused. I'm not sure if maybe it wasn't UNIT that was going to blow it up. Maybe it was Stevens to sort of cover up their shit.
Stevens was ordering UNIT to do it.
Oh, okay. But the Doctor tries to talk to Stevens to not blow up the mine so they can study the eggs and the maggots. And then they're like, well, you'll have to talk to this guy. And then then Yates comes in. And the Doctor's like, you have to stop it. But Yates won't stop it. Can't stop it.
He has orders.
But the thing is, when they introduce Yates, it's not as a UNIT person. It's as someone who works for the coal mining company. And the Doctor's like, Yates? What are you doing here?
Yates is, like, purposely too harsh.
Yes.
Because he's been...
Because he's an asshole. I knew it!
No! Because he's a good UNIT soldier. The Brig has asked him to, like, be his man on the inside. Sorry. And so he was, like, working to gain their trust. Because even, like, the Doctor's like, Yates is an asshole! I knew it! And the Brig has to be like, no, he's doing what I asked him, so now I have, like, a man on the inside, and Yates can tell me what's going on. And the Doctor's like, fine. I'll find out sooner or later he's an asshole, though.
We learn that he's an inside man, but not before the mine blows up. It happens.
Did you say the mime?
The mime.
The mime blows up.
You say that a lot. You say, did you say, and I... Very clearly did not say the thing you think I said.
I don't have the best ears.
You have very cute ears.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Aww.
So the mime blows up.
Did you say mime again?
No, I said mine.
Maybe you need to like enunciate more.
No, mine blows up. So the mime blows up. The mime blows up. The mine.
Now I heard mind.
God. And the computer, the boss, gets on to Stevens about it. I don't think the boss wanted it to happen necessarily. But he says D-Day is coming, so that's something to look forward to. Then we learn Yates is an inside man. And then we get another scene that was akin to the milkman scene, in which there's this cleaning lady that's cleaning up the coal mining factory company. Global Chemicals, rather. And she sees maggots in that pipe. But basically, this explosion has caused everything to sort of surface. The maggots are, like, now crawling up through the ground. So it's at this point that we've got the different guy. The guy that's replacing the guy who got sick. His name is Elgin. He's balding. I don't know how you thought it was the same guy. But he sort of comes in and is now the guy who's suspicious about things. But he gets locked into the thing and gets the headphones put on him and hypnotized. I remember being like, who the hell is this guy? But not thinking, what happened to the other guy?
I just, like, assumed it was the same person because I can't remember faces. And I was like, he must be the guy who was suspicious earlier.
But there's maggots everywhere. There is a bit of a myth. Because there's a bunch in this scene that's like wide shots, and they don't have puppets for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a myth that there was like condoms filled with stuff to just pad out the background. But it was party balloons, you perverts. So now you know, maggots. That's how they work. It's just party balloons. There's a whole bunch of them popping up through the ground. So what does UNIT do? UNIT shoots at them. But it turns out that the maggots are armor-plated. And not only that, they try shooting pesticide at them. They love it. They just love that pesticide.
They're like, this tickles.
In fact, I think it might even make them worse. Like, not worse for them, but worse for the people spraying the pesticide. Like, they get, it only makes them stronger sort of thing. I don't know. So, Brig and the Doctor talk to Yates and get some inside info. And then the Doctor decides he's going to have to infiltrate Global Chemicals. And he dresses up as the milkman.
That is the first of his outfits.
Like, he has a full-on mustache. He's got an old guy voice that he's doing.
He's doing a great voice. Do the voice he does. Do it.
I can't do the voice
do
he
the
does.
Do the voice he does.
I don't remember the voice he does. I remember it was like an old guy voice.
Do the voice he does. Do it.
I can't do the voice
do
he
the
does.
Do the voice he does.
I
do
don't
it.
Know the voice.
You do the voices.
I can't do the voice.
You do the voices.
What does it sound like? You do the voice.
He sounds like an old guy.
Oh, I'm an old guy. No, that's not what he sounds like at all. But like, they're like, I don't remember you. And he's like, oh, so-and-so's sick. And I've been doing this route since I was a wee lad. And starts like, he starts to go into like his backstory. And the guy's like, yeah, whatever. You're delivering milk. I don't give a shit. And sort of like waves him on. And the Doctor's a little like, yeah, I had this whole backstory. And
I had all this planned. really thought you were going to listen to me talk more.
Meanwhile, Joe continues to be Jerry Lewis for whatever reason, or Dick Van Dyke, whichever you prefer, and knocks over some dried fungus trying to help out Jones, and she's like, and knocks over this whole thing, and he's like, knocks it over into the goo that he's studying, and he's like, oh, you clumsy fool, I hate you, we'll never be married. And she apologizes a lot. Basically, it's just it sets something up. We'll get back to it
in a second. It's
secure! She's like, is there anything I can do to help, because I'm messing things up? And he's like, you can get me some coffee. Joe is like,
Joe responds appropriately to this, which is to tell him to fuck off, sort of.
Then she writes a note and leaves.
She writes a note that's saying, I've gone and fucked myself off.
I remember when she wrote that note, I was like, it better just say fuck you. Basically, when he was like, you should get me coffee and stay out of this stuff, she's like, I feel bad, I'm gonna go try to do something to make up for it, which is dumb, but she should just be like, fuck you, I am capable. But the doctor gets inside the building, sets off an alarm. I think the alarm even says, he's dressed up like an old man. No, like a milkman. I don't know how the alarm knows that, because it's not like a person, it's like a pre-recorded message. So he ducks into a closet and starts changing clothes again, though he has tremendous difficulty getting rid of the mustache. It's like sticking to his fingers, and he's like shaking it around. It's really funny. And then Yates and one of the business people at the Global Chemicals are like walking down a hallway, and they pass by the cleaning lady, and Yates looks back at her, and like the cleaning lady is writing something in the mirror, and it was like, get rid of him, and it's the doctor. The doctor is the cleaning lady.
He does a voice and everything for it too.
Well, he didn't even need to, but like Yates is like, oh, I left my suitcase in my office, and shoves the guy in the elevator. He's like, I'll be back. And then runs off and talks to the doctor.
The way the scene plays out is Yates walks over there, and the doctor's like, if you say anything, I will end you. And Yates just is silent for a long time and says, I like your hand back. And that's it. That's all he says.
The doctor says something back, like, I don't even remember, but he's got it in the voice.
Yes, he's got like this bucket that's the handbag they're referring to, and he's like, I'll pour it all over you if you like it so much.
And they it's go cute. To his office.
And you still don't like Yates.
I don't know. I think it's all right. He's fine. I like Benton better. I don't know why they can't just do things with Benton. And I didn't like the way that they sort of like pushed Yates and Joe together a little bit. They even do it a little bit in this serial too. I don't know if you noticed.
I did notice.
But then Joe is sneaking back and bumps into Benton. And Benton's like, things are real fucked up back there, so.
You better get out of here before you get eaten in the face by maggots.
And she's like, oh, all right, fine. But then proceeds to head straight into the maggots. Yates fills in the doctor on more stuff, says, like, there's a bad guy on the top floor. I haven't even met him, but that's probably where you need to go. And then they almost get caught. They bust in and like, what? Why did you leave me? And he's like, I was getting my suitcase, like I said. Picks up his suitcase and leaves. One of the henchmen says something to the doctor like, oh, how you doing?
Like, hey, Doris, how are the kids? And he has to be like, good. Oh, you know, it's all right, oh,
it's all right. Oh. And then Jones, meanwhile, has like found out that the fungus, the dried fungus that was poured onto the green goo, cures it, solves it. And he's like, yay!
My fungus really will save the world!
He's like, Joe, look at this, it's a...
Joe?
And reads the note. The note says, I'm gonna get a maggot.
That's what it says, verbatim.
I'm gonna get a maggot. But then we find out that they're about to drop grenades and stuff all over the field where all the maggots are, which is where Joe is.
And that's bad.
That's bad.
Because we don't want Joe to become exploded.
But back at Global Chemicals, Doctor gets in the elevator, sonics it, takes his way to the top floor, comes out in this very sci-fi looking lab, and meets the boss.
The boss!
Which is just a giant circle. It's just a big, like, circular screen with the waveform on it, and it's fairly very clearly added in post, too.
Well, it's also the whole room, because we're in the 70s. Whole
computer. Yeah, computers were not small. But yeah, that's the reveal.
Are we in the 70s? Is that where we are?
I mean, when they filmed it.
That's what I mean.
73.
So, okay.
And that's the end of episode 4. We're now into episode 5, which I've called, Who's the Boss?
Oh, I see.
In my notes, it has B period O period S period S period for full effect to indicate that it's not the television series with Tony Danza, but the computer program with the initials BOSS or BOSS. The computer is the boss. That's who's the boss. So Jones runs into where Unit is and then sees Joe off in the distance running after Maggot. And then he runs to go get Joe. Then the doctor has a whole big speech with the boss, which continues a theme of the doctors of hating computers. Why does the doctor hate computers so much?
I don't know.
He's just like, you're just a dumbass machine.
I think just because, like, for the same reason that the doctor today hates Twitter. Because they're new things and the show's being written by grumpy old men.
Oh, that sounds about right. But the doctor's like, you're just a dumb computer. You're just a dumb machine, is what he says. And the computer is like, well, you're just organic machines. What's the difference? But the thing is, machines and computers are way more efficient. I've been programmed to be inefficient, basically.
Which makes me creative.
And way much more of a threat, I guess. When really it just makes him kind of dumb. Really.
It makes him adorable. I mean, like, in an evil way, obviously, but, you know, cute. In an evil way.
Then bombs are dropped on the maggots. Joe and Jones duck into this cave to get away from it. Back at the computer, though, the doctor has come up with the solution to this computer, which is to use the...
Do you tell it a paradox?
He says, the thing I'm about to say is true. The thing I just said is false. And the computer's like, yeah, I'm just going to ignore that. That's dumb. Why would I try to figure that out? It doesn't make any sense, so...
He does try to figure it out for a while. He's like, hang on, I got it. I can do this. I got this. And then eventually he's like, I don't think this has a solution. This feels like maybe... It's a trick.
He starts, like, repeating himself and stuff, and then Stevens comes in. Because the doctor's like, checkmate, ha-ha, and runs away, and then Stevens comes in. And Stevens is like, fixes the computer so it stops being an idiot. But the bombs have dropped on the maggots, and Jones got knocked down, and I think maybe a piece of the cave hit him in the head or something. I don't know, he's not doing well. The maggots are fine, though, so...
They're still being the worst.
No, it's at this point that I was like, I could take one as a pet. They're kind of cute.
No, sir. No, thank you.
Stevens puts the doctor in those big old Bose headphones, tries to hypnotize him, but it doesn't work. They start doing it even harder on him, and then to distract himself, the doctor just starts reciting pi, and I wonder how far he legitimately got.
You think it was just like 3.14752684382166.
Eight. Then he's just sort of mouth mumbling it, which is, I'm pretty sure, the point where he's like, I need to keep going. The scene is still going.
The scene is still going, and I don't remember any more digits of pi.
But I am curious if he really did get it as far as he verbally said it. And then the doctor just, like, is sort of just, like, messing with the boss. Just, like, just starts teasing him and stuff. Like, you're not a very good villain, are you? And then he, like, starts, like, poking fun at Stevens. And then the boss is like, well... If this is all you're gonna do, let's just kill him. Let's just kill the doctor. The doctor's like, oh, wait, hold on. I'm a good hostage. I'm a really good hostage. You need me. And Stevens is like, he's right. You gotta keep him. And the boss is like, fine.
I guess.
So Joe has a communicator, I think, that she got from Jones, and she's trying to get it to work, but it's not working very well. But she's, like, basically trying to get a hold of Unit to be like, hey.
We're here. Don't blow us up.
Jones isn't doing very well. Then they move the doctor to a cell room. They leave him alone, and he hears someone coming, and he's, like, crouching by the door or whatever. And then the guy comes in, and he's, like, getting ready to attack him. And it's Yates. But Yates gets him out, and they run out and immediately set off an alarm. But the doctor rushes out this door, but then as soon as he gets through the door closes, and Yates is stuck behind the door. Like, Yates just says, go, go, go. The doctor runs off and gets in his milk truck and drives away. Then the doctor teams back up, gets to Brig and everything. But Joe gets a hold of Benton. The doctor's like, well, we gotta go save her. And him and the Brig drive Bessie through the maggot field. And it's a little toy model Bessie that they like made, like, a model set. And they just have this little toy Bessie driving through the maggots. It's really cute.
Nope, cute is not the word I would use to describe that scene.
I mean, the model car is... Also, at this, there's a hand on Bessie. I don't think it was there before. I don't remember if it was Chris Cherry or someone else on the live stream.
It was somebody. It wasn't Chris. I don't remember who it was, but I know it wasn't Chris.
It was either Rachel or Melissa. was, I don't remember which, but they said that it was sort of a turn signal thing for cars. It was just a fake hand. I don't know. It was very weird. I'm pretty sure it's never been on Bessie before, this serial. So it was very, like, distracting because I had no idea what it was. And I was like, why is there just a fake hand on this car? But they drive to Joe. They're, like, surrounded by maggots. Joe and Jones are. So the doctor sonics them. They run in and they get Jones and they all leave. They go back to Whole Wheel and Nancy is sort of doctoring up Jones and she's like, he should be fine by now. I don't know why he's still acting all sick. And he just starts saying, he's just saying serendipity. Which is another good title for this episode. Be serendipity. And I'm like, well, I don't know why he's saying serendipity. And then his sort of turns over and his neck is
it's glowing green. We mentioned that they like glow green. I don't think we talked about what a great effect that is.
It has depth.
Yeah.
It looks like it's in the skin. It doesn't look like it's on it. It looks like it's in
it. It's definitely not some sort of like overlay that they do. I think it's some sort of like, I think that's makeup.
Some sort of practical. Well, it pulsates though. I think they did something. Maybe they had a light in it or something.
Like they did like a prosthetic with like a glow stick in it. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, because it does. It definitely does pulsate. I think maybe they might have boosted it in post, but it doesn't look cheesy. I mean, it looks a little cheesy, but it looks good.
There's something practically done there, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's not just like they overlaid some like green light over it.
They do in some scenes, not all of them. Like this specific shot, it's definitely like practical or something. But like early on when it's like the miner going up the climbing out of the elevator or whatever, and it's like all over his whole body.
Yeah,
then it's a little cheesier. But when it's the close ups and stuff, it looks really good. But then Yates shows up and tries to kill the doctor because he's been hypnotized. Brig comes in and sort of disrupts it a little bit, buys the doctor some time. And the doctor pulls out his sapphire.
Has Yates look at it.
And it's like, look at this thing. And
look at my neat rock, please.
Told you it was cool.
Please look at my neat rock.
And Yates makes this face like he's taking a shit.
Yeah, he does.
And is dehypnotized. And the doctor's like, oh, well, that's good. Brig, we need to... Brig! And the Brig is just standing there staring because he's been hypnotized by the sapphire.
By the sapphire.
Pretty great. Yates wakes up and is like, Yates, you're going to have to go back. Say that you killed me and everything's fine. And you'll keep your cover. Gives Yates the sapphire, but the doctor's going to stay behind and try to figure out what's wrong with Jones.
Yes.
So Yates goes back. Elgin, the replacement for the other guy, has been programmed, and Yates dehypnotizes him with the sapphire. The guy's like, oh, I have to tell you the plan. And then he starts to, and then there's a loud noise, and he falls down dead. And it's Stevens. Stevens has come in. And that is the end of episode 5. We're now into episode 6, which I have called Maggot Food.
Disgusting.
You love it. A McMaggot. New from McDonald's. Would you like a McMaggot meal?
I'm already feeling kind of nauseous.
So, the doctor continues researching the maggots and stuff. Someone tells him what Joan said about serendipity, and he just straight up says the definition of serendipity.
Well, Joe asks, Joe doesn't know what it means.
Why doesn't she know what it means?
Because she's being written dumb this episode.
Serendipity, for those who don't know, is a feature film with John Cusack released in the 90s. Maybe the early 2000s. I'm not 100% sure on that. I think Jeremy Piven might be in it as well. It's been a long time. Kate Beckinsale, I think, is in it. That's what serendipity is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Nancy's making a weird cake. And she's making a cake made out of the fungus stuff.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nancy's making a weird cake.
Benton brings in a maggot shell. It's like wrapped up in a blanket.
That's bad.
Yeah, that means it's evolved into something. Presumably a fly. And the doctor's like, well, I gotta investigate this now because that takes preference over the health of Jones. And then they go back to check on the cake and there's a dead maggot there. It's not a shell like this maggot. It's literally dead. So they're like, oh, it must have eaten the cake. But the cake had the dried fungus. So they figure out that that's the bit of serendipity.
Actually, they don't even figure it out at this point. It's like 3 scenes later that Joe's like, oh yeah, I spilled some of the fungus in the slime. And Jones was like, that's the cure. And they're like, oh, that must be the serendipity. That scene where Joe explains to everyone about the scene before happens way after this scene.
Oh yeah, that's true.
In a way that doesn't make any sense to me.
She's like, I knocked over the stuff into his thing, and then I felt bad. And the doctor's like, serendipity! Eureka! So the boss, meanwhile, is like singing to himself, but also kind of upset. Like, how did Yates get deprocessed? What's up with that? Steven's like, I don't know. And he's like, well, I want to experiment on him. We're going to do that new thing we were testing out, and he's going to be slave elite. They're going to make Yates be super slave. Even though, why would you do that on the guy who, like, broke your programming?
That's a pretty good question.
So, they start loading up Bessie with the fungus, and they go around feeding the maggots. Okay, no, wait, that's what, they haven't figured out that it's a cure yet. They just know it kills the maggots.
Mm-hmm.
So they are driving around feeding the maggots. It's Benton and the doctor, and Benton's being like, starts to get, like, really into it, like, come get your din-din!
Yeah!
And the doctor's like, please, that's tacky. Ben's like, oh, sorry. I was having fun.
I was just too busy being adorable over here.
But then we see that there's a mutant fly on the loose.
That doesn't look great.
No, it's just a big bug. But before they get dive-bombed by the fly, Yates gets taken to be super processed, but he gets away. So that's fine. Just a little Yates update. An up-Yate. But when he runs out, and there's a bit where he's on the roof of the building. And he, like, parkours his way down it. He, like, jumps on the, like, awning and then
And you still don't like Yates.
Okay, I like Yates, all right? He's fine. He's cool. I think that's why I don't like him, though, is that he's all, like, super action hero guy. Whereas Benton's, like, more chill and calm. Yates is the more brash young hero guy. Whereas Benton's like, sup? I got turned into a baby once. It was weird.
Still the crime of the century that we did not get more of that. Just the brigadier carrying around baby Benton, trying to get him to eat.
Okay, so let's talk about that fly again.
Okay.
So the fly dive bombs Bessie, which it's just them ducking around with the, like, green screen bug just sort of flying around. It shits on Bessie at one point. I think it was, like, spitting something at it, like some sort of acid or something. I don't know. There was a scene where, like, something splashed on the on Bessie's windshield. It was very gross, but you'll never guess how they defeat the fly.
A really big fly swatter.
Nope, they throw a coat on it.
Do I watch the episode and, like, just hearing you say that was amazing.
They just throw, like, their coat over the bug.
It just amused me all over again. It does not, that scene does not work either. He, like, throws the coat in the air, and then there's, like, this stutter, and then the coat hits the bug and falls. It's not good.
But then we get sort of, like, a very doctor-y thing where he's, like, looking at it, and he's like, oh, it's a beautiful creature. Then this is when the scene happens where Joe's like, oh, yeah, I spilled the stuff on the stuff, and it was an accident, and I felt bad, and the doctor's like, oh, wait, that's
serendipity!
It. So we should go in Jake Jones with some of that fungus.
And then they do, and he's not dying anymore.
Well, he's starting to get better. But they start. The unit starts cleaning up the maggots, and Yates comes and tells them about the boss, and that it's making these super elite slaves and stuff. They're about to start mass producing these slaves, basically. So they all sort of rush back to Global Chemicals, and the doctor's going to go in. And the doctor's like, if I don't come out in such and such a time, I'll be dead. And if I'm dead, Brig, you come in and destroy the computer. So they're like, all right, cool. But they can't get in. They're not allowed in, because why would they be? So, but they're like, the guard's like keeping them out. But then, like, they start doing the slave thing. They have to, like, go, they shut down their systems or whatever in order to boot it back up. I don't know. They're going to be just defenseless for a little while the computer's linking up to all the slave brains.
Slave brains.
Which means the guard they were talking to starts going, eh! And freezes up. And they're like, oh, and just rush past him. So that worked out in their favor. And Stevens puts on the headphones because he's going to control, do the thing.
The boss, we mentioned earlier that the boss is, like, connected to a human brain, and that makes him flawed. Stevens is that brain.
So they're teaming up to do this thing.
Is this episode about unchecked capitalism?
Sure.
I mean, I knew it was about environmentalism, but...
Really? I didn't catch that at all. Is there a message about alternative energy? But Jones gets better and kisses Joe's hand.
Yeah, it's cute.
That's cute-ish. Like, they work sometimes.
They work when they're being, like, cute, and not when they're being, like, faux antagonistic, because that's what we think love is.
I agree. I mean, I guess that's part of that. I mean, they were a couple at the time, so there's definitely some natural chemistry there. But yeah. There's just some bad writing to go along with it. But now, like, the doctor rushes him to the lab, and Stevens is now the boss. They're like, the boss is talking, but like Stevens' mouth is moving and he's lip syncing to it, basically. But I mean, it's like they're connected.
Yeah.
They're not talking at the same time. He's just like mouthing it, and the boss is talking. You just hear the boss. It's not like a double up vocal effect, you know?
He's not always doing a great job of keeping up either.
But the doctor tries to toss some sense into the boss, and of course, the boss doesn't care. So the doctor's like, oh well, pulls out the sapphire and starts working on dehypnotizing Stevens. And Stevens does his constipated face and breaks free of his programming, basically. And he's like, I'm going to rig this place to explode. You have 2 minutes to get out. The doctor runs out, and he's like going around flipping off all the switches. There's one shot where there's like a row of 10 switches that he flips them all down. One at a time. You put the side of your hand on it, flip all those fuckers down at once.
It's not dramatic.
I know. And then he has the cheesiest death ever.
Mm.
He overacts like hell, and then the place explodes.
The end. No.
Basically.
Not really. Not quite.
We get it's time for wrap-ups, basically. Yes. Jones is eating some fungus soup, feeling a lot better. Everybody keeps going on about how this fungus food is so great.
The Brit keeps saying that it's great, and then when they're like, and then the Brit's like, I wouldn't ever eat that stuff. And it's like, you're eating it now. You've complimented it 4 times. And he's like, I want a burger.
You're trying to tell me that's fungus and not beef? Wah, pshaw.
Pshaw. Good, yeah. Sir.
But then Jones is like, I'm going to go on an expedition somewhere. I don't remember. Amazon, possibly.
Sure.
And Joe's like, I want to go with him. The doctor's like, what? What's this? Jones is like, yeah, we're going to go. We're going to stop off here and get some provisions, get married, and then we're going to go on the expedition. And Joe's like, wait, what?
Well, I agreed to the exposition. Nobody talked to me about the whole marriage thing.
Oh, I just assumed.
You're gonna, I'm like I haven't asked yet, I guess, but like, you're gonna say yes, right? Like, you're gonna say yes. And she's like, yes, of course I'll say yes. I've known you for only like 3 whole days. Of course I'm gonna say yes. And I get it. I get that it's more of a send-off for the actress than for Joe, because it was like her actual fiance. Everyone's really happy for her. Like, all of unit there is celebrating and sending her off, and that's nice. Can we stop having companions have their send-off be that they get married? We don't fucking die. This is something that we actually talked a little bit about in the live stream, is like how much we feel that like Amy and Rory are kind of an answer to that kind of trope.
Yeah, because she's married and they still...
And they just are both of them on the TARDIS having adventures. Because like married people can still do fun and interesting things.
Technically, they even went on adventures with their daughter.
Hmm. I hate all of that plot.
I do too, but still, yeah. But yeah, getting married doesn't mean you can't. Here's
and
the thing.
I get that, like a lot of her stuff is like, I want to do things that are like helping my world, and it's been like a long time coming of her like going on adventures and being like, I just want to be home. They've been setting this up. It's just rushed, messy, kind of gross.
I don't mind her being like, I want to go on this expedition with this guy. It sounds fun. It sounds cool. That's fine. That all makes sense for her. She wants to go on an adventure, and she wants to do it on Earth. That makes sense.
And she likes this guy. They've set that up enough.
Don't do this, oh, and we're totally getting married. Like, especially, like, he didn't ask her. He just assumed. That's gross.
Yes. I feel like that was gross in the 70s. Like, I feel like allowing for... Maybe I am wrong.
Just assuming that someone's, like, just assuming, like, oh, yeah, we're definitely getting married. Like, I don't see what else would happen because you're a woman, I'm a man. It's just, it's terrible.
I don't understand why that scene was written that way. I don't care for it.
Even if he had been, like, asked her to marry him, it would still be
too,
like...
It's too rushed. But, it's, like, obviously, like...
But if he had at least asked...
You'd feel better about it.
I'd feel better about it rather than just like, oh yeah, we're getting married, right?
I mean, maybe we're weird, like on the weird scale of things, on the weird end of things, because we dated for 4 years
right
before we got married.
Yeah, but it's still like 3 days, and he was like passed out for one of them. Not to mention he called her a child multiple times.
Yeah, he spent like 90% of the time being very condescending to her. Dating is fine.
Just like, we'll see where it goes.
The way that it was written and like the, you know, they have this big party afterwards and everybody dances and it's very cute. It's a very sweet send-off. I'm never going to like it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, parts of it work. Parts of it just don't. Everybody, yeah, and everybody's like, oh, of course, awesome, great, this is...
Except for Yates.
Well, Yates is like, oh, that's great, and then sort of looks sad.
I'm very happy for you. Known you for more than 3 days, but it's whatever, like, you gotta live your life.
And then we get to the very end, which I actually do think kind of works.
Oh, totally.
Which, Joe and the doctor sort of say their goodbyes, and it's really cute and sweet, and the doctor's like, here's a wedding gift. It's gives her the sapphire, which
she did not care about.
But yeah, I mean, at this point she's like, oh, thank you, doctor, and it's like, it'll be a great reminder of you and stuff. But like, all I can think of is like, the first time you showed this to her, she did not give any shit whatsoever.
Now you're giving it to her as a wedding present.
It'd be like me going, hey Tony, what do you think of this thing? And you'd be like, oh, that was fine. And then I'm like, guess what, it's your Christmas present, huh? And he was like, thanks. The party's going on and the doctor just sort of sneaks out. Sort of looks sad as he's driving. He gets in his Bessie and drives off sad, alone. I kind of like the doctor being alone. I don't know why. It works for me.
Does it?
Yeah. Cause he always seems sad. Like he needs somebody. So whenever he's that way, I'm like, aw, doctor.
I need somebody too.
Also, there's a quick note. Benton totally gets to dance with Nancy, and I'm for that, too. But yeah, that's the end of the episode. The end of the serial. End of Joe.
Should we say some things about Joe?
Let's do it for final thoughts.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for final thoughts.
We don't go in there. You don't want to go in there. There's a reason that chamber has no door.
What did she tell you? That it must have been a dream? Rookie mistake, Doc!
Turn it up to 11 in Flask. Let's see what she's got. And smoke me a kipper. I'll be back for breakfast.
No, Doc, it's a rational transaction. One life for billions.
If you think that's impressive, wait until I get going. The answer's 1 + 2 + 1 + 1.
You must be truly desperate to come to me for help.
Dr. Geek's Laboratory of Applied Geekdom, Season 3, coming soon.
And we're back! You know what time it is?
Is it nap time?
Nope, it's time
for... Hammer time?
No. It's time for...
I can't think of another one.
Okay, good, because it's time for...
Final Thoughts!
I feel like when we first got to Joe's episodes, we had a couple of people, I think like on Twitter and on YouTube, who were like, please give Joe a chance. Who were very concerned that we were going to be like, I hate her. She's dumb.
She's not Liz, specifically.
Yes, because we did love Liz so much. And like the way that all went down was very gross, obviously. And like the very first line that the Brig says to introduce Joe is gross. The like, oh, we got rid of Liz because you just need someone to like compliment you and hand you test tubes, which isn't who Joe is at all, really. I mean, Joe obviously loves the doctor, but she's, you know, she's capable. She's not a scientist, and so she might not be like smart in that area, but she's very capable.
And she learns as I do feel like they did give her an arc. I mean, they were a little wobbly with it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It kind of depends on
who's writing.
Because sometimes she is great. And even when you're like, oh, they did not give her a great script, they're writing her as like too dumb and I don't like it. Even then, like, she always had really great chemistry with the doctor. And, like, the times where they would just give them scenes just to, like, banter or, like, any, you know, when they were locked in a cell and just, like, learning about each other. Great scenes. They had great chemistry together. Jo is adorable. So, like, even when she is not working with the best of scripts, you still love her because she's just so, I don't know. She's just so lovely and full you can't help but not.
She's just full of joy.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. She just, yeah, she has this, like, bright, cheerful personality that you can't not love.
Whenever the Doctor and her would do scenes together, it was either adorable or, I mean, it was really, like, heartfelt.
Yes.
Or really funny. They had, like, good banter when it was written well. Sometimes it was, oh, Doctor, I don't understand things. Like, I get that they were trying to have her not be, like, super smart like Liz and sort of learn as she goes. But sometimes they just made her really stupid. Like, unbelievably stupid. She works for UNIT. She's right. She's not a scientist. She's not a scientist, sure, but she's not dumb.
And she has areas of expertise, even if they aren't science.
Right.
And sometimes, on certain scripts, that would get ignored, and it would frustrate me.
And I feel like, actually, that's a problem with this specific serial, is I feel like they reverted her a lot to her sort of earlier appearances. Yeah,
and it's a shame for something that otherwise would be, like, a really good send-off.
They missed the mark on some things. By making her be, like, very clumsy, and that's also never, I don't think that's ever been a thing, really, of her being, like, I mean, they're probably trying to play into that, oh, she's around this guy that she likes, so and she's being extra.
And that's making
her nervous. Yeah, but that's dumb. Like, I feel like it would have been better if he, like, if they'd done this, like, fungus thing, not as an accident, but, like, it's something that Jo figures out, maybe, and, like, impresses Jones. That would have been probably better than just she comically dumps some fungus in the green goo. I don't know. I just, it doesn't work.
The frustrating thing about Jo is that her level of competency is never
consistent.
If she had, like, started as kind of a ditz, and, like, whatever, ditzes are lovable, you know. Mm-hmm. Those are good characters. The problem is that, like, one day she's a ditz and one day she's very competent, and, like, it just fluctuates wildly based on whatever the writers were feeling like that day, or, like, you know, how sexist they were, let's be honest.
And it doesn't help that everyone is super patronizing to her.
Yes. Yeah. Even there, I mean, there have been times which, and I actually like some of these scenes where she's being, like, people are being patronizing to her, and she's like, I got it, obviously. Like, those were good. Yeah, I will miss Jo. I know we're heading on to a companion who is, like, the biggest Classic Who companion, basically. So, like, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'll miss Jo, but I'm ready.
Ready for Sarah Jane?
Yeah.
Me too. So what were your thoughts on this specific serial?
Mostly I spent a lot of time being angry at how gross it was. Like, specifically, like, right on the heels of
Planet of the Daleks with the, like,
Yes!
Ice volcano and stuff.
I was like, is this, like, a choice that we're making now?
Just to be gross?
I don't care for it. I mean, they achieved the thing that they were doing. It was effective. And, like, you know, when you're like, hey, what if giant maggots? This is obviously the reaction that you're going for. Like, the one that I had is what was achieved. I don't know. I just really spent a lot of time being like, why, no, please don't. That being said, the practical makeup, I think that's what it has to be, on, like, the green glowing sort of disease, the green death stuff, looked great. I can't say that, like, overall, I really enjoyed this serial. Not because it was bad. It was just okay. It is weird that I feel at the same time that it was, like, a really good send-off. But, like, I could see how someone wrote that and was like, yes, and, like, we'll all have a party. And
I mean, at least Jo does be like, yeah, this is what I want.
Yes, and yes, that too. She does get to, like, choose and, like, she makes a conscious decision of, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I want to do this. And this is, she's very much in control of that decision. And that's nice. I think it's indicative of, like, this episode that we spent a lot of time, and we've probably edited a lot of it out, but just, like, trying to remember what happened.
Yes.
In it. Like, we did not watch it that long ago, and we sat down to talk about it. And we had to kind of, like, go and, like, reread stuff and go, wait a minute. Because a lot of it just happens, and those are my final thoughts.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of good elements. I think that the maggots actually work. I like the maggots.
No, totally.
I think the maggots work.
I hate them, but they're effective.
I think the boss works, but
no, we didn't even talk about how much I loved him. Wait, I want my final thoughts back.
All right, you can have them back.
Okay, okay, okay. Listen to me. There is a robot character. I mean, it's a computer. That's still in my wheelhouse. Who's very emotive and kind of funny and, like, sings and has fun. He's playing one of those, like, delightfully evil characters. Like, somebody who's just evil because it's fun. And, like, it's always nice to have, like, you know, a well-balanced villain. And then sometimes it's nice to just have someone be evil because they enjoy it. You know, they're having a blast. And, like, to have a computer that's playing that character, that's aces for me. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I kind of wish the boss was in it more.
Really?
Yes. You disagree?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I actually think he shouldn't have been in it at all. He does not really mesh with this plot.
Ooh, that's maybe fair.
Like, you have this whole sort of, like, the sort of, like, industry versus the hippies, basically.
Sure.
The computer thing doesn't really fit into that.
I have a theory about that. I wonder if this was not written as a master episode.
Possibly. Okay, I've actually heard that, like, Joe left the show because there was a theory, thing about Joe leaving the show because the master died. But she filmed that episode before he died.
Oh, okay.
So,
I just, with, like, the hypnotism.
Yeah.
I was like, was this? And then they had to, like, go, oh, shit.
I mean, it still could have been that it was, they were originally going to intend the master, but they're like, we don't want to overuse him. I think there's a lot of elements.
I think you're right.
Uh-huh.
But I'd rather see the episode with the robot, I mean, with the boss than with the maggots.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like there's a stronger theme.
No, fair enough. Maggots.
Here's the thing.
I have one very specific reason for this opinion.
Yeah, you like, I mean, I like the boss too, but I just feel like it's too much.
Hmm.
Here's the thing. I feel like the boss was actually underdeveloped,
and
I actually think the maggots were underdeveloped. Because they don't really pose that much of a threat.
And they don't super make sense.
Well, I mean, it's the waste causes them to mutate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this company's got, it's a byproduct of this shitty company, basically. I feel like it's underdeveloped, and the boss is underdeveloped, and that's probably because they're both the bad guys. There's too much split. And also, like, I think when the maggots are on screen, it's working. I think when the boss is on screen, it's working. I think when the doctor's in disguises, it's working. But, I don't know, I think it jumps around too much. Like, anytime we're with the
as
miners,
as a whole,
yeah,
not working.
I think any scene with the miners, kind of boring. Mm-hmm. I think any scene where we're at Global Chemicals other than the boss, boring. Most of the times when we're with the, at Whole Wheel, with the hippies, I think it's kind of boring.
Ooh,
too.
No, because at least then it's fun. I mean, I get what you're saying. There's a lot of scenes that are at Whole Wheel and you're like, why is any of this happening?
Yeah.
I was delighted by it.
Okay, it's but can you remember any of them besides?
I remember the dinner party. And like, I remember them doing yoga.
That's the thing. Like, they set up these other characters. Like, there's a whole gang here, but we don't learn anything about them. The most we learn about is Jones. Second to that,
I don't really feel like I know that much about Jones. And that's,
I don't either.
Part of the reason why I don't care about, like, her send-off, because I'm like, this guy?
I don't care about this guy, yeah.
Who the fuck is this anyway?
I mean, as much as I get on to about Yates and stuff,
also,
if he'd been sent off with Yates, at least I'd been like, that's something I'm more emotionally invested in.
There is the idea, too, that, like, they set up how much he's like the doctor. And Joe's basically, like, with the doctor. Someone's basically the doctor. I don't care for that.
I don't either.
It's almost like making a completely second doctor just so the companion could be with him forever.
Yeah, that'd be dumb.
Yeah, that'd be way dumb.
But yeah, I feel like that's my problem with this whole serial is, like, there's a lot of good ideas and a lot of things that work, but I feel like a lot of it's sort of half-baked.
Mm.
They just threw in a bunch of ideas but didn't develop them well enough.
Agreed.
Sort of I do enjoy the very end with just the Doctor and Joe, the Doctor leaving. I think that works. Everything else is a little mixed.
A lot of good pieces that don't fit together.
I feel like, I mean, it's a lot of filler. Even the great bits with the Doctor on Metabilis or whatever you call it. I mean, it's fun filler, but it's filler, you know?
That sounds like those were your final thoughts.
Yeah, that's it. Before we jump into our thing, I want to do a quick plug. By the time this episode goes up, I should have a new video up on minipineapple.com, the Projectionist Project review of Straight Outta Compton, which is a finale, sort of. It may no longer be the finale due to Chris Cherry. I don't want to say any more than that, but think of it as a sort of finale. That should be up, so go check it out. If you haven't seen any of the Projectionist Project, it will make no sense. So, but if you are a fan, it's up and you should go check it out. But if you liked this episode, you can check out more on WatchYourAssalon.com. And be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. It helps us a lot, you guys. If you'd like to help us out even more, you can go to WatchYourAssalon.com/support. And there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to Patreon.com/Watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like day-early episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, and live streams. We're doing live streams now. And we'll shout your name out on the podcast like we did earlier. And we're going to do it again right now. Thank you very much, Lena Feliciano or Feliciano. Thank you for becoming a Patreon patron.
Thank you so much. We love you.
Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page and mention you in the podcast like we're going to do once again. For Matt Golden, thank you for sponsoring this episode, Matt Golden.
Hey, thanks, Matt.
You can follow him on Tumblr at mgoldentumbles.tumblr.com. That's tumbles without an E because it's Tumblr. But tune in next time when we start a brand new season of Doctor Who. Still the third Doctor, the last season of the third Doctor. But we'll be talking about The Time Warrior with special guest Brian Snape. He'll be returning. So check that out. Thanks for listening. Keep calm and wrestle on.
Hey, I love you. Is that what I say?
Yeah. Oh, you're right. It was Hutch.
There's life in the old dog yet.
Well, watch out. I don't smash you with it.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.